Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Rhino Nation, broadcast to you live from the Phoenix Business Radio X studio in Tempe, Arizona, powered by Rhino Online Strategies and eCreativity. Rhino Nation is a growing community of influential entrepreneurs and small business owners that share a common trait. They don't walk, they don't run, they charge to their destiny. We acknowledge and celebrate their business expertise, leadership, and fearless attitude to be victorious in their goals. Rhino Nation is committed to making powerful connections and providing enhanced exposure to broaden the reach and promote the extraordinary talent of our community members. I'm Michelle Faust, and I'd like to welcome my guest today. We have Kendall Jones, Community Outreach Manager of Local First Arizona.
Great to be here.
And we have David Hash, COO of Continuum Consulting.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to both of you. So glad that you could join us today.
Yeah.
So to get started, I just would like a little bit of background on both of you. So I'm going to, you know, put you both in the hot seat just a little bit and give you each an opportunity to kind of give it a little background of what you do and what your business is all about. And then we'll just kind of take the conversation from there. So Kendall, would you like to start?
Sure, absolutely. I'm super excited to be here. Thanks so much for the opportunity, Michelle. So I'm a part of an organization called Local First Arizona. And what we really are is a coalition of local businesses. So we have been around since 2003, and we have grown to be the largest coalition of local businesses in the nation. So really trying to provide that voice and that opportunity for our local businesses to thrive. Reason being is that our local businesses actually support the economy more. So my job as community outreach manager is to bring those businesses together. So we do networking events, we do educational seminars and webinars, and a myriad of other things, trying to make sure that our businesses are set up for success because they really are the backbone of our economy.
That sounds great. Yeah, perfect. David?
Wow, I'm not that good at
this. I doubt that.
That was great.
So Continuum Consulting, we're a software company. We develop e-commerce software, the back end of it. We don't do the front end. We work with front end workers, but that's what we do.
Well, that sounds pretty fantastic too.
That is fantastic. Yeah. Can I just say, like, I mean, that's one of the things that our local businesses, when we talk about trying to leverage their localness and leverage them against any other type of business out there, the e-commerce piece is so, so important. So that's really cool. What a cool person to have on here with me.
Well, that's why he's an invited guest here today. Because you're right. I mean, everything is going to the internet. Brick and mortar is, you know, disappearing faster than we can blink an eye. So it's an important piece of our economy. And I'm fascinated by it because I have absolutely no idea how it all works other than when I go shopping online, right?
Yeah.
So I know that end of it. So I'd like to take it back to when you talk about the economy and being supported by the local businesses, Kendall, because I do believe in that mm-hmm. as well, even to the point where, sorry, Starbucks, but if I can find a local coffee shop, I will.
And absolutely.
You know, it's just the right thing to do, I believe. And so to that point, can you give more specifics on the real impact of the local businesses?
Yeah, you bet. So I feel like each one of us, when we talk about community, there's sort of this innate kind of, oh, I really want to know who I'm doing business with. I really want to know who my neighbors are. But what does that really mean when you talk about the impact? And so there are some really fascinating studies that have come out by a group called Civic Economics. And they talked about, you know, doing these studies and looking at what happens when we start thinking about where we spend our dollars, what happens to those dollars on the back end, and what does that impact look like? So what they did was they look at different cities, and they took a city with a population size, you know, roughly the same size as Tucson. And what they said was, what if every single person in this community shifted just 10% of their spending from a non-local to a local business? And this could be a coffee. This could be a lunch out. This could be where you get your tires changed. And so they said, in 1 year's time, what would that look like? And just by shifting 10% of their spending, they found that this community, this population size, would have created an additional 1,600 jobs and have an additional $53 million in wages. This is 1 year of shifting just just a little bit of your spending. So it really does make sense. Obviously, it feels great. It really matters because you know the person that you're doing business with. But when you think about those dollars recirculating, you think about those jobs being created all the time. What are we hearing? We need more jobs. We need more, you know, tax dollars for schools, for libraries. This is how we can do it, by supporting those local businesses.
You're not passionate at all.
No, not at all. Yeah, no.
Well, that's really fascinating, because when you think about it, 10% is really nothing.
It's easy.
Yeah, it is easy. And I think that we've kind of gotten in that mindset of the Walmarts and the Targets and the, oh, I'm going to get in trouble for doing all this name dropping right. of businesses. But but I'm fascinated by just by entrepreneurs in general. I think if we're not supporting them, mm-hmm. Then they're not going to be here to give us their wonderful works and right. what they do. So to that, I'm going to shift over to you, David, a little bit and talk just kind of on that e-commerce side of it. I'm going to ask you to just share, because I know you're passionate about what you do, and then I just need to get you off and running here. Because we've had this conversation before, and tell me just a little bit about what you're doing to grow your business and that side of the e-commerce of what you do. You're an entrepreneur in all
yeah.
different ways. I know, and could speak to many, many different things. But help us understand a little bit of where your business is going right now.
Yeah. Right now, we're working with a couple local businesses, to develop their e-commerce website, the back end of the thing. We're not the graphics people. I'm definitely not the artist type of person. I'm the math guy. So we have a group of people that what we do is we take on their back end of the website. Most web development guys are not the back end guys either. They're the front end. They're the graphics. They're, you know, make things pretty and do the SEO and all the stuff like that.
Right.
We do the not pretty stuff, just the stuff behind the scenes to make it so you can bill your customers, to make it so your customers can submit orders, you can fulfill those orders, everything can happen on the back end and get it all done. It's not the fancy, cool looking stuff at all. It's just the business. It's making the business run.
Right.
I work with a little comic book printing store here in town. In fact, they're really busy this weekend with Comic-Con Phoenix.
You
can't call it Comic-Con anymore.
Yeah.
It's not whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. Now I'm going to get in trouble for using my name. But and you know, they have a business where they have artists that come to them, and the artists, you know, use their website to advertise their comic books. People come on, order the comic books. Everything from the back end is done and it's fulfilled. They print it. They box it, they ship it, and it's all done locally. Nothing, you know, we're not going offshore. We're not doing anything like that. Everything is done locally here and shipped out to customers all around the country, all around the world. They ship all around the world, but it's just a totally cool. Yeah, I am pretty passionate about the concept of it, even though it is just the back end and it's nothing anybody ever sees. But we have a pretty good business, and I love being able to work with local business. And the 10% yeah. thing, I'd never heard that, but that's awesome. Just like you said, just finding coffee places that we can have our meetings. Mm-hmm. All of us are entrepreneurs. We meet with people all day long. I get people that are like, hey, let's meet in this chain. I'm like, can we do something a little bit better? Just, you know, just a little bit better. And sometimes it's annoying to try to go back and forth to find a place to meet and stuff like that. But it's always more fulfilling. There's a ton of local coffee places here in town that do a great job. They are great. Yep. Yes, yeah. They really are great.
And to take it a little bit further too, just from a vacation standpoint, I always like to go out and find the local establishment, you know, because why do you want a chain necessarily, you know, when you can get a chain just about anywhere? So again, I hope that people who are visiting us, of course, not this time of year they're visiting. But,
yeah, nobody's visiting now.
Nobody now. But when they are, you know, I really hope that they are seeking us out. To that point, Kendall, is there anything that you guys maybe produce that help people know, that somebody visiting who's not really aware of, mm-hmm. of some of the businesses where they can look up local businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so we've got our directory, which is featuring all 3,000 of our businesses across the state. So it's pretty easy to search that way. So whether you are visiting us or whether you are a resident here or you're another business and you're looking for other businesses to work with, you can search our directory on our website, localfirstdz.com. But we also, to the point of staycations, especially, or even just making sure that our communities shine and are showcased and really unique. One of the things that we have been able to do is start these weekend Zona trips. So these are really fun weekend getaways that we put together, and they just kind of showcase the rural towns across our state, because a lot of times they get overlooked. And these are incredibly unique, diverse, artistic, very, very cool towns. And so we really want to showcase those. So for those that are living here, you can look up on our website. We've got a few of them that we plan throughout the year. So there's a few different options that we try and give, and we try and make it very convenient and easy, because talk about e-commerce, right? We're moving into this world of ease and convenience. We want to make sure that people can find these local businesses very easily. And so I strike very strongly with what you were saying about streamlining the process and all of that too. So yeah, you can definitely search on our website.
So that's the first I've heard of the vacation.
Really?
Together.
Yeah, I'll just send them to you.
Sounds cool. I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah. I'm thrilled to be a part of a little bit more exposure on that, because I love that. I used to travel in my other life, my other job, and I traveled the entire state. I was driving all over the rural countries, and I would stay overnight in Bisbee and Parker and Havasu and all these different places.
Jerome.
And it was, Jerome, my favorite. Ever do Spook Night?
Yeah. Springerville, Alpine. I mean, there's some great little towns here in Phoenix. In Arizona that are awesome.
Yeah, no kidding. So, all right. So that's on your website. So I'm definitely going to check that out. Yeah. And then the other thing that I wanted to expand on with Local First Arizona is, I'm familiar with it, at least first and foremost, I became familiar as a networking opportunity, which is great. Your mixer is great. I love it. But obviously you do quite a bit more than that. So you're supporting businesses and giving them exposure as well. Mm-hmm. Do you have educational outlet for them as well?
Oh, you bet. Absolutely. So we do quarterly seminars as well as monthly webinars. So the variety of topics, the webinars are more so kind of that 101 or 201 that you can kind of plug into, whether it's marketing or productivity, anything in between there. Our seminars are, these are in-person, obviously. And so this is where we bring together very cool experts to talk about. We had a panel discussion talking about how to become more of like a legacy business. Like, how do you stay in business for 30 plus years? This is, you know, especially when you talk about Arizona and the changes that we've seen even in the last 10 years, you know, it's kind of up and down. And so how can we learn from those experts in a more meaningful way? So these are seminars that we do on a quarterly basis. And we pull the experts straight from our own members, because they are the experts. Absolutely. So we try and make sure that these are the types of opportunities to learn on topics that can reach all around the state, can, you know, be really easy and bite-sized to chew on, and really much ways that they can bring those tools and tips right back into their business. So we try and make sure that these are applicable and easy.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. So this is going to lead me into another topic that I've been getting kind of passionate, and I've become a new cheerleader for millennials. So I am just, and the reason that comes up, because I love the idea that you have people that have, you know, been in business, mentoring to younger individuals. And I think that our younger folks just bring so much to the table. Mm-hmm. From an IT standpoint, technology, they dance circles around me. And I'm just really impressed. And I think it's just a different mindset that they come, every generation comes into the workforce with a different idea of how to do things. So I guess I wanted to switch that now over to you, David, in terms of being in that business. That's got to be individuals, you know, coming out of high school and college, that perfect candidate for you to train, to teach, to...
It actually is. I personally went to night school. I finished high school and night school. I quit school to start working when I was a kid. To me, that's super observant of that when other kids are in that same boat. So we're always looking, like, our staff would be all people that are they might not even have to have a degree. We're not looking for people with college degrees or anything like that. What my first job when I went to U of A, my first job when I was down there in Tucson, I worked for a little company. There was four people, and it was me and another developer, the owner and his wife. And The other guy had been there longer. So he was like, this is the way we're going to do things. The beauty of that was we did them a specific way. So anything he did, I could work on. Anything I did, he could work on, because it was all consistent. It wasn't, you know, hodgepodge of whatever happened. It was very consistent the way we did things. I learned from that. And that was a lot of years ago, but I learned from that. And since then, that's always been my passion, is to hire people that I can teach to do. I'm not saying my way is definitely the best way. I'm open to hear other things, but I want things to be consistent. I don't care if they're my way or if they're some other way, but I want them to be consistent, so that if someone's sick or if someone's not there for a day, someone's on vacation, somebody else can pick up that work and go straight into it and work and solve our customers' problems. So we're always looking for younger people that have that ability. And they don't even have to be younger people. If they're older people that don't have any, you know, they might not have any IT experience at all, but if they have the aptitude, I'm willing to help them and willing to work with them. So that's one of our passions at our company, is trying to find these people and help them out. So.
Right, you hear that out there in Radio Land?
Yeah. If you do, give me a call. I'm always looking for people. So.
How do you find folks to join up with you?
We, a lot of networking, yeah. A lot of stuff like that. We also, Continuum Staffing also owns Continuum Consulting also owns a staffing company, Continuum Staffing.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of people that way. We use our staffing company to hire people for the computer side or the consulting side.
That's so. Pretty cool. I'm kind of connected to a couple of the community colleges and even like a high school. So hearing that, I'm like, ooh, maybe I'll go back and see if there's any kids or even students or whatever that are interested, because that's a really cool avenue to be able to learn a skill set that's so vital and so universal. I mean, you could do so much with that. So
yeah. And we are we're in discussions with PVCC and a couple of the other community colleges.
Fantastic.
On that same thing, to try to get kids that are, and I say kids, I mean, they're not kids, they're young adults. I'm sorry. I don't mean to disparage anybody, but young adults who are looking to do something and really help them out with a career path so that they can do something for the rest of their life. I got lucky and fell into this, and I've loved it all my life. So it's worked out well for me.
Even though it's not the pretty side of things.
It is not the pretty, and I'm never on the pretty side. Look at me. I'm not the pretty guy. I'm the math guy. I'm the guy that does the stuff on the back end, and that's always been fine with me. I'm not the pretty guy.
We need you back end.
It's the nuts and bolts for sure.
And it's important, very important. Well, that's great to hear, because we talk about supporting local businesses and supporting just, you know, our young adults as well. It all just helps the community.
Mm-hmm.
And Arizona is a pretty vibrant, wonderful community. So.
Well, and talk about like helping with like the brain drain, right? Like we see all of these incredibly talented people just, they don't feel connected to this place for whatever reason, or they don't think that there's enough opportunities. And here you are like, right? Like providing those opportunities. And I think that needs to be out there much further. So I think that's super important, because you talk about the longevity and the sustainability of our state alone. I mean, we need to be thinking about the next generation, not even just the immediate one, mm-hmm. but what about two from now? How are we setting up for success? How are we making sure that our businesses understand how to market themselves, how to, you know, train people efficiently, how to find the right people? I think that that's a whole new avenue that I commend you for really being open to doing that.
Yeah. I never graduated from the U of A. I went and ran out of money and got a job.
Yeah.
So I have a strong feeling for people that, you know, maybe you can't afford to finish your 4-year degree. I mean, it's crazy expensive now. Yeah. Universities are unbelievably expensive. And they do. Now the community colleges are great. They're awesome.
I'm a product of community college right here.
I know that some of the, like PVCC has a deal where you can graduate from ASU, or you can graduate from the U of A or NAU, or you can do all the stuff there. And that's awesome that you can do that for a reasonable rate as opposed to the crazy rate. And, you know, so if we can help some people out and get them some job experience, you know, I'm all about that. I'd love to help people out like that. So,
well, isn't that fantastic that those individuals are getting that opportunity? Not everyone can take that financial path, nor mm-hmm. do they want to take that path. It's not for everyone. And as a mother who's still paying off student loan 10 years later, I heartily support that. So that's great. That's fantastic. So, Let's talk a little bit more about who is your ideal client or small business to work with, David?
For us, it's anybody who wants to sell stuff online. I mean, we're working with some local jewelry manufacturers that are actually at the comic, I don't even know what the thing's called now, Phoenix Comic Fest or whatever it's called now, that are there right now. So we work with a lot of small to micro companies here in town that want to sell something online. Mm-hmm. A lot of them just don't know how to deal with it. And, you know, through using us, it's economical and it's not crazy expensive to work with us. So we can help them out by setting up the stuff on the back end. And, you know, a lot of these people are already artists. So they can create their own front end websites. They can do all the pretty looky stuff. And we just deal the back end. But those are our clients. The smaller, mid to small businesses that are trying. I mean, you know, we're never going to get, you know, some of the huge companies here in town, you know, with their e-commerce or anything like that. So
that's they go up to the next level.
That's not our target market at all. I do have some clients that are on that large end, and I actually have another company that I refer those people to that does more of that. And in turn, he refers smaller businesses to me. So we actually have a line there of what we deal with and what we don't.
So that's a perfect way to do business.
So
how do you compare yourself to, say, a Shopify? What's the differences, the benefits that you might offer?
Well, actually, we use WooCommerce a lot as our and we venture into the Magento, which is more of the high end e-commerce website. That this person I know that I refer business to on the high end side, that's what he does exclusively, is the Magento side. We can do that for smaller customers. Most of our stuff is done.
We can name them, by the way. They were a guest.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that he was.
We had Alex as a guest.
Him and I have. We do work together. So I'm sorry. I didn't know he had been in here. Okay. But yeah, so we do that. Now I lost my train of thought because
let me pull you back to it, because the reason I was asking was because he was a guest and we were kind of defining, you know, what his target market is and the business size and whatnot. And so one of the things that Alex had mentioned on the show was, the smaller, real small, just starting off business isn't for them. And that's where he brought up Shopify. And I know nothing about this, so I'm very naive to that world. So I guess what I'm trying to understand is, so you do the back end, but you're not necessarily connected or committed to a certain platform?
Not totally.
Okay.
We have a couple platforms that we work on, and we're always that's another great thing about local businesses, right? There's always these new softwares coming out. So not going to commit to any one to be like the guy who's stuck with this one, because we just recently found a new add-on that worked really well for our printer, and it was a construction company add-on for WooCommerce, and it allowed you to do like carpet, you know, estimating of carpet and stuff like that, and do billing based on those things. That's a lot of what worked out for the comic book store, because they needed, you know, they needed to be able to charge for stapling. So it's one per book, or you need to be able to charge for paper, which is one per page. You know, so there's different charges that go on in these when they're producing these books.
So you really customize to the specifics of what the company needs.
That's really what we do. So, but by doing that, you know, we keep finding these little add-ons that are just obscure that, you know, somebody will tell me about one. I'm like, oh, let me check that out. Let me see what's going on with that. And so we're not really committed to a platform. We're just committed to
getting the job done. Yeah, exactly.
And I just have a follow-up question. So whenever let's say you're working with a company and you get everything set up, are you set it up and then you're like, okay, goodbye, like now this is how you run it? Or are you kind of that person that's like, give me a call if something needs, you know what I mean? How do you?
I don't want them calling me for every little check.
Right.
I want to teach them, you know.
Teach them a fish.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly an analogy I was going to come up with. But if they do have a problem, we're always available.
Cool.
You know, so there's always that, you know, you can always come back to me and ask me and you know, we'll help you out any way we can. Or if you grow and you need something new added into it, that we'd love to do that for you. But I don't want to maintain your stuff every day. that's just not my job. So that's not what I want to do.
Well,
I would assume that on at that the level you're working with, the businesses don't need to have that constant maintenance of it.
Not all of them. Yeah. I mean, most of them can take care of it themselves. And we do a pretty good job of setting it up so that it's easy to maintain. And then they just have to maintain their inventory and they have to maintain their pricing structure. And now when they come up with new products or things like that, we might need to come back in and help them out a little bit, or maybe not. Maybe if their product is close enough to another product, they can just copy that and move on from that.
Well, what about, as you were speaking to a few minutes ago, finding all these great add-ons and whatnot, do you try to promote and suggest add-ons as you find them, if you know they're going to work for a business?
Absolutely, yeah. If I find something that I think will work for your business, I have no problem, you know, throwing that out there and asking you if, you know, if that's something that the customer would want to use.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's where we, that's our job, is to find all the new and pretty things that are cool.
No, they're not pretty, remember?
They're not pretty, actually. These are all, yeah. But some of them can, like, you know,
the shiny
blend,
object.
Yeah, they can blend between the front and the back end. So, you know, you can put pictures on them.
Perfect. Yeah. So, my mind keeps going back to these vacations.
those vacations sounded
summertime
nice.
Summertime is coming up, yeah.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time staying, you know, focused on this because I'm somewhere in Jerome and, you know, somewhere else.
We can talk about Jerome.
Somewhere in 6,000 feet, right?
And, you know, maybe we could do a show from there.
Ooh,
do a little remote broadcast, right? Yeah. So what are some of the different event, Kendall, that you have? I'm familiar with the Mixer, that is more of a networking type of an opportunity.
Yeah.
What are specifically some of the regular monthly events that you have?
Mm-hmm. Well, for our businesses, it would be those networking events. And we have evening mixers as well as lunch mixers. But something that we try and do, too, is obviously showcase to the public. Make sure that the public gets a chance to meet our local businesses. So it's not a monthly thing, but it's actually an annual event that we run. It's called the Arizona Fall Festival, and it's in November. And this is where we bring out over 200 local businesses. It's a huge festival that we host downtown Phoenix at Hants Park. And we bring out around 22,000 people. And this is a great opportunity. It doesn't matter what type of business you are. You just have to be a member of ours. And we've had, you know, tire companies to accountants to the jewelry makers, everybody out there, and getting a chance to actually get to know folks and give them a chance to really shine. And so this is a way for us to not only showcase the local businesses to each other. So obviously people are getting to meet each other because they're right next door, you know, booth spaces, but a chance for our public to really be empowered to find out who's local in their area too. So that's an exciting thing that we try and do. We also run a campaign, which is coming up, which is our summertime campaign called Independence Week. So this is a lot of fun. It's for businesses to participate, and it's for the public, whether you are a business or a general individual, to be able to get involved with. And it is essentially a summertime campaign that we run, and it's any business that wants to participate, they just need to offer something for 20% off. So this is 1 week. It's from June 30th to July 8th. And it doesn't matter if you are B2B or B2C, you just offer something for 20% off, might be off the bill, might be off a product or a service. And then people can come and they can use these coupons. We literally print up golden coupons like Willy Wonka. And people can go out and use these coupons all throughout the week because we want to encourage people through a hotter time of year to continue going out and supporting those local businesses. So we try and make it really fun throughout the year and also really easy to plug in. So the businesses that participate, I think last year we had about 500 or so businesses participating. Sometimes we find that the local businesses themselves will take these coupons and they're like, you know, funds might be a little bit low, but I've been really needing to go and you know, talk to you about e-commerce or talk to somebody about marketing services. This would be a great opportunity for me to do that. So that's a great way for us to also support each other as businesses too.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. And you have some great prizes at your mixers too.
We try, yeah.
I was the proud winner of, you're going to have to help me with the name.
Sure.
The brewery company, that local beer company. Anyway.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of them. I know. It's on, I know at least where they're located. 30th and Washington.
Was it, that's Phoenix Ale Brewery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they gave me a $10 coupon.
Yeah. And you got like a growler.
I got the cool glasses and jug. All I have to do is get myself down there to fill up my jug with some beer from the tap. So,
That's right. That was at the Pueblo Grande Museum one.
Yes. That was fun. So yeah, I do enjoy the mixers and I would highly encourage anybody to join, to attend that.
Yeah.
And as far as membership, first, mm-hmm. let me back up a little bit and say, so is the organization pretty much membership funded or how does that work then?
Sure. Yeah. So we're kind of funded through three different areas. So obviously we have our membership dues that make up a majority of our funding. And then we also have an individual giving program that's more so on our foundation side. But we also do grants. So, a big majority is grants and then a big majority is the member dues. And then, of course, we have our individual giving, which is just a donor program
too. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Speaking of membership, I know it's not very expensive.
Right.
I haven't joined yet, but I'm going to. But to that point, you don't require that to even just show up to a mixer, right?
No. Any local business is more than welcome to come out to our mixer. It's really a great way for you. If you want to check them out, it's a great way for you to really get a feel for the organization. We have obviously our staff there. And you get to know local businesses around your area. We really try and make them really casual and fun. I mean, there's so many times where I've gone to other, networking events and it felt a little bit more stiff and you kind of find yourself in the corner of the room and you're like, how do I get to know people? We really want to make this authentic and organic, and which is really what our communities are. We're bringing together local businesses because they are our communities. So these are really great, easy events that you can go out to. And you don't have to be a member, just a local business, and we will get to know you. And also, we want to know, like, what are you looking for? How can we help connect you further? Because that's the other big goal of ours, is making sure that we're not just saying, as local businesses, I'm a local business, do business with me. Thinking about, how can I be a better local business? How can I, buy my office supplies locally? How can I, get my accounting services or payroll locally, my e-commerce, my, graphic design, all of these opportunities, trying to bring all of that together in one room. So these are every single month, third Wednesday of the month, from 6 to 8 p.m. And we try and make them really fun by going to really cool places. So we've done like Taliesin West, we did Pueblo Grande Museum, we went to the Newton in downtown Phoenix. So just trying to really tap in and showcase in a cool, easy way, really cool spots, and make sure our local businesses get connected.
I'm pretty sure David's going to be attending one of those.
I hope so. I would love to.
I was actually supposed to go to your one last Wednesday night, I believe.
Yes.
But I ended up getting stuck at work.
I
didn't make it. I had actually signed up and everything. I was going to go, but I didn't make it. But yes, I will be at the next
one. That's all right. Sure. We got more coming. So.
Yeah. Okay. But you're right. They are very casual, very comfortable. I'm not a person that loves to go to the networking environments, but the first time I went at Pueblo Grand Museum, it was fun. People came up to me to talk to me. And, it's like they sort of take a role in that, I think, of knowing that they want to make people comfortable that are there. So I really appreciated that feel for it. Anyway, I'm excited for all the possibilities of the whole holistic approach to
it.
It's not just a networking. It's really looking at support the entire process. So that's great. I wanted to talk about comic books for a minute. Because we like to have fun here on the radio too. So last time I saw you, David, you were showing me some of the photos. I'm giving a plug to your comic book company right now.
Ready Comics is the name of the company.
Okay, good. Because what impressed me was the pictures you were showing me were art.
These artists are unbelievably good. Yeah. And they have a great environment there at Ready Comics. They're located here in Tempe. In fact, right down the street here on Baseline and Mill, basically right around there. And they have a great environment where artists actually come in and hang out at the facility. You know, they're always running the press and stuff like that. So it's just a, you can see the books coming off the press, you know, done. And it's, you
so
can see
it
the artists
done
sitting
A
there.
To Z right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Now the artists might not always be there, but there are artists there from time to time. I mean, I'm in there, you know, once a week pretty much because I like the environment. It's a fun place to just go and hang out. And these artists are these local artists are unbelievable. I mean, they're, and this is it's something that they offer that the artists previous to this were going offshore and maybe they might be getting 3,000 comic books printed offshore and then they have to warehouse them in their house. Now this is a print on demand, you know, like once a week they send a file, they send a list of people that order their comic books or order their art or whatever their art is. They print it, their ready comics, print it out, package it up and ship it out. So the artist doesn't warehouse anything anymore. They're just, it's just there being done on demand.
That's efficient.
It's a great concept. Yeah. And it's so much fun to hang out because like you said, the artists are unbelievable and they're so good at what they do.
Can I hang out with you there sometime?
Yeah. Yeah. Come on over. You know, I'll buy the beverages.
There you go. Yeah. I just wanted to kind of give a little shout out because I remember how impressed I was with the artistic ability. So when you mentioned comic books, it just kind of, comic book, but these are pretty amazing. And I'd like to actually see some of that stuff just framed up and hanging in my living room.
It is. It's amazing. When just the walls. Like you just go in there and look around the walls and there's art from all over the place. It's really cool.
So let's just chat a little bit about the whole idea of entrepreneurship because I know you have a history of being an entrepreneur. I don't know everything that you've done and you're more than welcome to talk with us about it. But the whole idea is... it's such a brave and courageous thing to do. It really is. I mean, it's a natural for a lot of people, I think. But when I think about what is involved versus getting your training, your degree, whatever, finding a job and just going along your path, the idea of entrepreneurship is it's amazing to me. So tell me some of your feelings, you know, what drives you, David, to want to do the different projects you do.
My ADD.
That's why entrepreneurship is taking off.
That's the honest to God truth. I mean, I've worked in corporate America and I've worked in big companies and stuff like that, but it's my ADD. I can't, I like right now, you know, it's 12:30. We're here at a radio show. You know, I'm not sitting at my desk somewhere. Yeah. I haven't been at my desk yet today. I've had two other meetings this morning. I love that. Yeah. I love just being able to have different stuff going on all the time. I get bored. So,
well, maybe I have ADD. I don't know. I might have to think.
I've never been officially, you know, whatever. Yeah, yeah, but I know that I can't sit still.
And I'll tell you where I have a problem sometimes is just staying focused because the ideas are always going, and I have to rein myself in a little bit to go, okay, let's take the last good idea you had and just, you know, run with that a little bit. But the brain keeps going, nope, I've got another idea.
But isn't that how you know you have a good idea? Like, because I'm working on a project with another person and I know it's a good idea because I find myself thinking about it all the time. I don't drift off and think about other things. I know this is a good idea because I'm thinking about it all the time. And it just keeps coming up. So that's how you know you have a good idea is when it keeps coming around.
It's kind of like I bought the one expensive piece of art, I guess you could call it, that I did buy a while back. It was only because I kept getting drawn back to it. So it's kind of the same idea.
Exactly.
And so when I'd gone back about the seventh time, I said, well, I think I need to buy this. This is a piece of art.
I can look at it every time, all day long now.
And I still do, and I still love it. So it's a fun thing, but it does take, you know, a bit of courage to really make it work. How did you learn from the early time to be successful? I mean, it's one thing to have ADD and have a lot of ideas. It's another thing to be successful.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I think I just got lucky, to tell you the truth. I mean, I know some of my other friends that are entrepreneurs are way better at it than I am. I wish I was better. They're, you know, they're dedicated and they're pounding it all the time and stuff like that. I work hard and I do things and I stick with them and things like that. But I think a lot of it is just sort of some luck too. It has to fall into place. You know, you have to be the right place at the right time and have things work out. So I'm not trying to poo-poo the whole thought, but it takes a lot of diligence and it takes a little bit of luck.
But it sounds a little like you're making your own luck as well. It's being at the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. It's like making your own luck. So,
well, and it sounds like the courage piece of it, you know, like that enables you to be able to take risks that other people wouldn't. And just saying, hey, you know, I think that it would be really interesting if I just go down this path for, you know, and that is very courageous. And I think that a lot of people, myself included, I'm like, ooh, I don't know. I think I'm going to stay in my lane over here. But watching other people in the businesses that are part of our organization, I'm like, man, you are an incredible problem solver. How did you come up with this? And I love that you're like, oh, I just had this idea and I couldn't get it out of my head. And, you know, and then I think that paired with that courage to be able to take that risk and go for it is what makes you a success no matter what. So I think it is a matter of making your own luck. I don't believe in you just get lucky. No.
It might be. I don't think it's all getting lucky, but there is, you know, like it's tough. It's tough. It's not for everyone. I don't have a family or anything like that. So that makes it easier for me. I'm not.
You've got a dog though.
I do have a dog and I love my dog.
What kind of a dog?
I have a chocolate lab and she is the coolest dog ever.
How old is she?
13.
Oh, wow.
So, but we still play ball every morning at 5:30. There's a ball on my pillow at 5:30. Yeah, her and I we're really good with the structure thing. We're both that way. But yeah, so I would say if anybody has a good idea and they want to go for it, they should go for it. They should do whatever they have to do to make these things happen. Because I have a lot of really good friends that have made a lot of money and done some great stuff in the future or, you know, in the past. But you know, it doesn't always work out.
And to that, I was just about to say, you can't be afraid of failure because, again, that's the learning process. And it's a very important part of how you learn to be very successful. And so, I'm always bringing up this word, but it's my favorite word, is fearless. So I think that what we have to do as we go out there in that entrepreneurial world is be a little bit fearless of what's out there. Mm-hmm. And know that, well, if things go wrong, you'll figure out a way to make it go right and conquer it and be successful. But I know I had friends, if I jumped off of the corporate world, they all said, go for it. Just,
you know, that's awesome.
They just said, if you can make your entrepreneurial, you know, ideas come to fruition, you will love it. So, and this is coming from people who have done it. And it's great to have that support. But again, the support that you offer as your organization of Local First Arizona, again, it does take a village mm-hmm. to make the world go round, really. So that's great. I'm just, my head just started going, my ADD. So
I had to bring
it up. My next new idea just came into my head.
Really? Does it have software involved in it? I'd like to be involved. Anything that has software involved, I want to be involved.
I'll let you know on that. Yeah. Let's talk hobbies for a minute. The reason we're going to talk hobbies, because I know yours is archery.
Mine is archery, yes. And that is a very big hobby of mine, yes. Spend a lot of time.
And you've done competitive archery, the tournament and whatnot.
Yeah, I won't say that I'm not the world-class archer, that's for sure. But I do like to compete and I have a good time. And I've met some great people in that hobby also. So it's a lot of fun.
How did you get started in archery?
You know, it was a long progression. I started out as a, when I was a little kid, my dad shot very competitive archery and he was really good. And then when I grew up, I just sort of went away from it. And I've been involved in a ton of different things. I've shot competitive pool. I've shot pistols. I've done, you know, I just love to compete in anything.
Any sort of like marksman type.
Yeah. Well, I was also a competitive cyclist for about 15 years. So, but yeah, I've done all these different things. And then to tell you the truth, the pistol shooting got too expensive. And I was like, I need to find something that's less expensive. So I was like, oh, that's right. My dad was into archery. I'm like, so about 8 or 9 years ago, I got back into that. It's just it's a great group of guys and girls and ladies, sorry. And it's just a fun group of people. So. Yeah.
What about your hobby? What did you like to do?
I mostly just like to go hiking. I'm very much an Arizonan in that way. So one of the cool things, a few friends and I are going to be able to go to Havasupai Falls in August.
Oh, it's a great place. Have you been there?
I've never been. It's unbelievable. So really?
Yeah.
Do you have any tips for me?
Don't hurt your knee going down.
Oh, no.
But it's
a good tip.
Made it a long walk down and a longer walk back out. But yeah, it's a great place. And when you get close and you start to see the turquoise, have you been there?
I have not.
Oh, I'm the only one that's been there?
I think so.
You people. The turquoise streams, as you get about 4 miles out of town, I call it a town. It's a little whatever.
It's like a village, right?
Yeah, it's a little village. Yeah. Village is a good word for it. Yeah. You know, you start to see these turquoise streams that this is just the bed of them is just all turquoise and the water is just crystal clear. It's unbelievably cool place.
That sounds amazing.
And the view on the way there, you know, the 11-mile hike is not that bad.
Yeah.
Considering you're hiking in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
It's an unbelievable view on the whole way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm a hiker.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I get sad this time of year when starting to get a little bit hot. Although I've been still pushing for a few hikes. And as long as I can get myself out of bed early enough in the morning. In fact, the other day, I actually came across a baby rattler. So that was the first time
that
ever happened. Yeah, yeah.
Where were you hiking?
We were at Lost Dog Wash, which was up at 124th and Shea.
Okay.
And, of course, you can go hiking anywhere and come across a rattler. But I've lived in Arizona most of my life. And I think I've only actually come across a rattler maybe 3 times in my life.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
We see them all the time at the archery range.
Yeah.
Weekly.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you out in a desert location?
Yeah, we go to Ben Avery a lot.
Oh, right.
Misery Pass.
And, of course you're going to see them out there.
Yeah, we see a lot of them there. But
yeah.
Just sort of shoo them off the road and they go off on their little, they're gone their merry way.
Yeah, I think if you freak out, that just freaks them out. And then, you know, that's where you get into trouble. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So
you don't need to pick them up. That's the idea.
Another great tip.
Dave's tip of the day.
Yeah.
Don't pick up the rattlesnakes.
I once spoke with a physician who was actually treated a lot of rattlesnake bites. You know, that was his big thing. He was just saying the statistics are just, it's like, 85% of the bites involve gender, male.
What are you saying here?
Beverages, alcohol. And age, 20 to 30. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that just tells you that it's people mishandling, thinking it's fun to go, you know, grab them.
You don't need to touch them.
No, you don't need to touch them.
And they're fine. They go on their merry way. We always take little pebbles and sort of kick them in their general direction. And they just get off the trail and they're good living on the side of the trail. Yep. They just don't need to be in the trail.
They don't want to lose all of their venom on you. Save it
for the rabbits.
Yeah. Well, we're about 10 minutes to the hour now. So we're going to start winding down a little bit. First, I want to thank both of you for being here and contributing to a fantastic conversation. But before we wrap up, I'm going to give each of you a few minutes as well, like we did in the beginning. You're back on the hot seat now. And really, what I just want to give you an opportunity to give any contact information that you would like, talk about any events that you might have coming up, and also just if you have something that we didn't cover or anything that you specifically want to share with our audience, this is your time to do that. So, Kendall, I'll move it over to you to let you wrap up your side of things.
Sure. This has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate the time here, Michelle, and it was great talking with you as well. If you want to get in contact with me, you can reach me directly. Should I say my email? Yeah, go for it. Okay.
Yep.
I'm okay with it.
Share whatever
I'm okay
you
want
to share.
All right. You can reach me at kendall@localfirstaz.com. That's KENDALL at localfirst, spelled out first, AZ.com. You can also check out our website, localfirstaz.com. And you can definitely, you don't have to just be a member to search on our directory. I encourage anybody to go on there and take a look. If you are thinking about joining or would just like to get in contact and learn a little bit more, you can obviously contact me, or you can come to our next event, which will be on the 20th of June. It's our next evening mixer, and that will be at McDowell Market, which is right on McDowell Road. It's a really, really cool spot. So this is what's called Miracle Mile, and it's where like Tacos Chihuahuas is. It's where Ollie Vaughn's is. And there's a section where it's this old building that has been adapted into new business space. And so four businesses are cohabiting this one space. And so we're going to have kind of like a summer block kind of party going on right in that space on June 20th from 6 to 8 p.m.
That sounds so cool. And I'm going to miss it because I'm going to be out of town.
Oh, no.
I need to check that out. That sounds like a really great concept. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So, and if you have any other questions or anything like that, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Yeah, it's been great.
Okay. David?
All right. Well, let's see. My contact information would be continuumconsulting.com. And that's, you can figure out how to spell. It's too long to do on here.
Email, but it has two M's.
To use. Yeah, it has two U's. My email address is dhash@continuumconsulting.com. And we have a landing page for our e-commerce stuff, which is continuumconsulting.com/e-commerce. So if you need to get a hold of us anyway, there's some contact information on the e-commerce landing page. We'll get back to you immediately. We're not collecting a ton of information. All we want is your name, your email address, and what you want us to help you out with, or if you just want some information. Either way, it's all good. So we're not collecting a ton of information. We're just doing little stuff.
Perfect. I'm going to realize that I never share my contact information. So I'm going to do the same. My contact information would be Rhino Online Strategies and eCreativity is my business name. The website is rhinostrategy.com. So my email is michelle@rhinostrategy.com. Phone number 480-270-9466. And I'm sharing it because I would love to get some feedback. So anybody out there just listening to the show or has heard any of the previous shows, knows of a good guest, I would encourage you to get in touch with me and let me know, because I'd love to give some exposure and make some connections with other people out there. So again, David and Kendall, thank you so much. I appreciate you being here and all the great information and everything that you're doing to help the local, you know, community here. So that's pretty fantastic. So you've been listening to Rhino Nation. This B2B radio series has been powered by Rhino Online Strategies and eCreativity. We are here to help you free up your precious and limited time as a business owner to do what you do best, which is running and growing your business. We partner with you to identify your content and marketing needs and provide you with fresh, innovative, dynamic copy that will effectively reach your target market, leading to increased customer engagement, a higher conversion rate, and increased sales. Until next time, I'm your host, Michelle Faust.